A pox on both your prisons, varicella outbreak, response and seroprevalence study in two Rhode Island prisons. In May and August of 2016, the Rhode Island Department of Health responded to two outbreaks of varicella in two different Rhode Island prisons. Using data we collected during the outbreak responses, we investigated the following questions. What is the prevalence of varicella immunity in Rhode Island's incarcerated population, and is varicella immunity associated with age, race, or self-reported varicella infection among Rhode Island inmates? In May of 2016, we had our first outbreak in Prison A, which is the state's maximum security men's prison. There were five cases of varicella, each with between 50 and 250 vesicles. None of these individuals reported receiving varicella-containing vaccine or having chickenpox before. Prison A is an Auburn-style prison, which means that all of the cells have these open barred fronts. There's really maximum shared airspace. They're arranged around a central space. And between the shared airspace, mingling at meals, mingling at rec periods, and mingling in the jobs that these men did, 432 inmates were exposed, and that's almost the entire population of this maximum security prison. This outbreak was traced back to an index case of oral facial herpes zoster, or shingles on the face, who had not been isolated because it was not seen as disseminated shingles. And one of these cases of varicella, his job was to clean cells of other inmates, and he had cleaned the cell of the individual with shingles without using any PPE. So we had a short time frame to act with this outbreak because you only have 5 days to provide post-exposure prophylactic vaccination following an exposure to varicella. So we elected to hold a mass vaccination clinic over 2 days. It was a multi-agency collaboration between the Department of Health, the Department of Corrections, and a community immunizer. So we gave the exposed inmates one dose of varicella vaccine, and we vaccinated 422 out of the 432 inmates. There were some medical exemptions. A couple of folks had been discharged into the community already, and there was one refusal. And at the same time, we did IgG serology to see who was already actually immune to varicella. 48 of the 432 inmates were seronegative, and they received a second dose of varicella vaccine. There were no further cases at Prison A. Just a couple months later, in August of 2016, we heard from Prison B, which is a private prison housing federal inmates. They had three cases of varicella, again, each between 50 to 250 vesicles, none of whom reported having received varicella vaccine or having chickenpox. Prison B is set up differently. There's a lot less prisoner movement and shared airspace. You can see that each cell has a door. It's organized into pods, so inmates only interact with other people in their pods and they don't have jobs. There were only 46 inmates exposed in this outbreak, but it again was traced back to an index case of oral facial herpes zoster who had not been isolated. We learned of this outbreak earlier on in that post-exposure prophylactic period, so we elected to do IgG serologic screening before providing vaccination. We screened all 46 exposed inmates, and the five seronegative inmates received vaccine. This was a much smaller response, obviously. We collected data during these outbreaks from patient interviews and prison rosters. We had information on medical conditions, age, combined race-ethnicity variable, self-reported varicella disease, and self-reported varicella vaccination. And we looked at these questions: what is the prevalence of varicella immunity, and is that immunity associated with age, race, or self-reported varicella infection in Rhode Island inmates? And we found in Prison A that 89% of inmates were immune to varicella. The mean age of immune inmates was 39 years old, compared with the mean age of non-immune inmates, which was 32 years old, and that difference was statistically significant. We also looked at birth before 1980, which is used as a proxy for immunity in the general population, and we were curious if that was true also within our prison population. And we found that 51% of immune inmates were born before 1980, compared with 35% of non-immune inmates, and that difference was not quite statistically significant. And then we looked at self-reported history of varicella. Have you ever had chickenpox? And 68% of immune inmates reported having chickenpox before, compared with 29% of non-immune inmates, and that association was significant. In Prison B, we had less data, and we only were able to interview non-immune inmates. But again, we found that 89% of the inmates there were immune. The mean age was not different between immune and non-immune inmates. Birth before 1980 was not associated, and self-reported varicella history was not available. Race ethnicity was not significant in either prison. Overall, in Prison A, seronegative inmates were significantly younger than seropositive inmates. In prison A, self-reported prior chickenpox infection was significantly associated with immunity to varicella, and in both prison A and prison B, approximately 90% of inmates were immune to varicella. There's limited literature on varicella immunity among incarcerated populations, so we're pleased to be able to add our seroprevalence data to that body of knowledge. And so I was curious if our seroprevalence was similar to the non-incarcerated population. And the most recent estimate I could find was NHANES between 1999 and 2004, which was the last time they asked questions about varicella. And they estimated that 98% of adults between the ages of 20 and 49 were immune to varicella. And this is quite a bit higher seroprevalence than our incarcerated population in Rhode Island. We found that self-reported prior disease is a decent predictor of varicella immunity in this population, and in public health, we're often hesitant to use self-reported anything to drive public health action, but I think that based on this data, it could be part of a public health response. We also really recommend serologic screening, if at all possible. It's not always possible to screen before you vaccinate in this sort of case because you just have that really short time frame and it can be a large effort. But if it's possible, it reduces unnecessary medical procedures on an already vulnerable population, and it really reduces public health's resource expenditure in terms of time, staff, and money. And I think these outbreaks point to a need to isolate shingles cases in a dense congregate setting, especially when you can't cover it. And usually non-disseminated shingles is not isolated, but if it's unable to be covered and you're in this population where people are interacting so closely and really all the time, I think there's benefit in isolating a case of shingles. And following on that, it's important to provide contact precautions when cleaning up after a person who has shingles. And a possible future direction would be screening or vaccinating upon incarceration, so you could either already know who was immune within that within your prison population if there was a case of varicella, or you could vaccinate and sort of raise the group immunity to varicella. And obviously, there's resource limitations to that, but I think it's a good direction. We had the opportunity to practice what we learned just this past April when we had a case of varicella in our state's medium security prison. And this is part of the same prison campus as Prison A. So they reported it much quicker this time to us because they knew what to do. But they didn't isolate that case of shingles, who this time it was in the groin. This is obviously a different case of shingles. We had time to do IgG serologic screening before vaccination, and Prison C is arranged more like Prison B with full doors and pods, so people are only interacting within their pod. So there were 97 inmates exposed to this case of varicella. 13 had proof of immunity. Many had been in maximum security the year before and had been vaccinated during that response. 84 were screened for IgG, and of those, 92% were immune to chickenpox. So there were only 7 seronegative inmates that required vaccination. So this screening saved a lot of time and resources. And in fact, the prison was able to conduct this whole immunization and screening process really without our personnel going in. So it was a pretty successful response. But I think if they had isolated this case of shingles, we may not have been dealing with this in the first place. Thanks.